It's getting darker when the sun is gone, and it's tough on the streets. You can still feel the heat. Baywatch Wild Nights. Baywatch Wild.
Nights. Hello and welcome back to Baywatch Watch Nights. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. We've got a great returning guest with us today. Daryl Johnson is back on the podcast. Welcome back, Daryl.
Hello, Daryl.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
We are so excited to have you back. And welcome to Baywatch Nights.
I don't know how I signed up to do this again. if I recall,
yeah,
last time I did this, I was like, why did you make me watch that? And now it's almost like, I'm going to kill you the next time I see you for making me watch
it. Hey, yeah. you might have gotten some of Kempler's blood in you.
I might have Kempler's blood all in my body.
Yeah, you just became a serial killer.
I was like, is this Freaky Friday on TV with bad quality production?
This was, I would say, probably the darkest Baywatch Nights episode yet in its implications, right? Because, like, Kempler is a serial killer. He was like a rapist, a serial rapist and murderer.
Right.
And so who had butchered, they said... convicted of 2, confessed to 17, but suspected of 50.
Okay, I laughed so hard when that happened because I was like, confessed to 17. Were they like, we don't, you know what, we're good.
He's like, I'm not going to confess to them other ones, but the 17 that I really liked who had that good nana, I'll admit to those girls.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so this is actually a thing in serial killers where they like become like so obsessed with their own mythos that they confess and then they're not able to prove that they like did it, you know. They're like, okay, this guy's just like talking. But what is weird is if it's like convicted of 2, confessed to 17, but they're like, no, he undershot by 33. So we think it might have been 50.
Do you think he was like, yeah, I'm a serial killer, but I'm not that bad of a serial killer.
Modest serial killer.
I kill people, but I don't kill everybody.
Yeah,
I might kill 17, but 50 is crazy. And then. So he is, and every time they showed his kill layer in his various forms, it was pretty gnarly, right? Like blood all over mattresses, blood on saws, blood on handcuffs, just blood everywhere.
I'm sorry, that was strawberry jelly.
Yeah, strawberry. You're right. Maybe he was making,
it didn't even look like blood.
He was making sundaes. But what is funny to me is that he is essentially his consciousness is being passed into different people like Donna and then Regan. But when it's Donna, he then becomes a heterosexual woman.
I didn't understand that.
It was funny because he was like putting on lingerie.
Lingerie over her body.
And I was like, bruh, I'm telling you, this was like Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Yes. It was like, he seemed to be kind of excited by the fact that he was a woman at this point in time.
Yeah.
And like, why did Donna, it's also a weird thing. Like, it almost feels like Donna should have been last. It's weird to go Donna and then some guy we've
somebody we don't even know or care about who's like a absolutely character on the show. But also, Donna really had a hard time raping a man. Like, obviously this was Kemper, so it was like, he was like, wait, do I really want to touch some penis?
How was she able to overcome the
she has stronger blood? Is that the idea here? Because why it was Ray just like completely turned? Or do you think it's something like this guy was an asshole anyways in real life? And maybe he quickly
Regan
turned.
Was just like, oh, this is my opportunity to be a bad guy.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe it's something
Donna
like that.
Kept coming out of her trance.
Yes.
Which was so weird. I was like, why is she coming out? But then going back in, like she called, what's Hasselhoff's character's name?
Mitch.
Called Mitch by his name. And then she was just like, I don't care. And then runs away and then slices his neck.
Yes.
Okay. So, can we just talk about one thing that really bothered me the whole episode?
Yeah.
It had to be the smooth jazz soundtrack to a horror thriller episode.
Sure.
I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be sleepy or scared. Like, it was just, to me, awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was odd. But yes, the Donna, the whole Donna part, that she was able to resist it because it doesn't seem like the men who were affected by this were able to resist at all. Yeah. And then the implication at the end is now it's a 14-year-old girl, which is such a strange ending.
Which is the comedy.
Yes.
That was a comedic moment for them.
Yeah.
Like, well, got to deal with that.
Like, guess we got to go find this 14-year-old and kill her right quick.
I would love if they showed Mitch beating the 14-year-old girl almost to death as well.
I mean, it would only
Mitch, be it's not most, him.
It would only be the most absurd thing for the show to do next. So why not?
Yeah. Why not do that? Yeah.
And did anybody notice how Donna was holding a knife to that guy's neck? It was backwards.
Yes.
Oh, was it really? I missed that. That's hilarious.
She must have been fighting the impulses. Oh, okay. But it was like so weird because like it was like also a very horny scene as well.
Yeah, because like, she was like, touch my leg.
Straddling him, touch my leg, leave it there, and then kiss me. No, not like you don't want to.
Right. Man, that was the worst 45 minutes of my life.
All right, well, let's talk about season two. I know, season two, episode 12, Possessed. So we start in a house. We later find out that this is Bakersfield. And there's blood and notes and stuff all over the walls. And we've got a detective who is kind of like never really shown full on to the camera, which was very funny. Every time he's talking, yeah, he's just kind of like in the background, but he does all of the talking.
Yeah.
But basically, he says they got a call or that the coroners have just taken all the bodies out. And then they got a call because the neighbors heard a woman scream. And as they arrived, the suspect came out firing a 12 gauge and they had no choice but to kill him. And they found parts to at least a dozen bodies.
Dang, this guy worked quickly.
Yes, this guy worked really quick.
Happened like a couple days ago, right?
Right.
This whole accident.
Wow.
And when they later say that he preyed on young women.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, each of these guys, like Regan, like he had a kill layer. So like,
right.
So the whole idea at the end where it's like, thanks for getting me my husband back. I was like, I don't think the court's going to buy. He was possessed by a serial killer.
If I'm Ellen, I'm not going to buy it. Right.
Yeah, I was like, how is she just accepting this? As a person watching it at home. I'm like, yeah,
no, absolutely not.
It was obsessed with old movies and be my lover.
Like, it was just like you get possessed by Regan, but you still have all your mental faculties of the host body. Like, like Regan just knows how to call in a.
He's still a cop. Yeah.
Yeah, he's still a cop. Knows all the cop stuff. Flashbangs. Know where to get all this stuff from.
Yes.
Like, well, damn. All right. Well, then shit.
Flashbang, concussion grenade. Like, and they say that he was part of the SWAT team, but like.
Right.
He's driving a black and white, and he's a normal patrol officer.
Yeah, I was like, that's not a SWAT uniform. Yeah, no. The show SWAT.
Yeah, that was like unnecessary info for sure.
Yeah,
it was real. It was all. I feel like this script was written by Hasselhoff.
Okay, I believe that actually.
In his German language.
Yeah,
Charlie, did you look? Do you know who the screenwriter was? I can look.
It was one person. I forget his name, but it was. It wasn't
a pseudonym.
It wasn't the Hayes twins.
David Hasselhoff.
It was. It was Life Guard.
Guard Life.
Leaf Guard. So then. This man, who turns out to be Dr. Alan Block, he says it's not possible.
Wait, I have a question real quick, because he is Dr. Block. Is he a cop or like a detective?
He's a medical examiner.
He's a medical examiner.
He's a medical examiner, but there? He is acting like a detective.
Yeah, why is he there? I don't think at a crime scene, they're like, we got to call him the doctor. Got to get this cause of death.
And we don't find out until later that he has a personal connection to the case, in that his wife was Kempler's
last
victim.
Kill.
Yeah.
And then he tells them that, but then later he tells Mitch again, and Mitch is like, you never told me this. He's like, why didn't you ever tell me? And it's like, well, he told us earlier.
Like, actually, he did tell you, Mitch.
Yeah,
it was very hard to understand why the medical exam, why he was there,
right?
Because they said the coroner just left.
Yeah.
So now why is the ME on scene? MEs don't typically come on scene after the coroner's already left and everything. They're like, there's no bodies here, so what am I here for?
Right.
And it's just like very funny in all these because they like don't want to pay more actors. It's like this is a place where a serial killer was operating, and there is one cop left on scene.
One cop.
Yeah.
No witnesses standing out front of the house. No. Nobody around. Nobody guarding the scene, holding the scene, locking down this block. It was just like this one dude, and then this one other dude.
Right.
Yeah. So you, it's like Jeffrey Dahmer, some other serial killer's place. And they're like, "Sorry, you're the one cop in charge of all this." And
I mean, Kempler is
the guy's actually like, "What a mess."
Basically, because he is kind of like your Jeffrey Dahmer, because they say later that he must have been really charming. He knew how to get, you know, like get women into the cars and you know, so he's a Jeffrey Dahmer level.
Black people, right?
Yeah. It's unlike
because they was well seasoned. That's a bad joke. He's like, this shit tastes better, golly. I ain't even know meat could taste like this.
Then basically he's like, this couldn't be a copycat because they never reported any of this stuff to the public. So, and then we cut to Ryan and Mitch. Ryan is working on an aquarium, and Mitch tries to calm her down with decaf coffee because a fish died. And they say one fish died. Yeah, one fish died of loneliness.
Were you guys confused as I was? This was a gigantic aquarium.
Oh, huge.
One fish in there.
One fish.
This is the kind like you go to like a really fancy restaurant and they, for some reason, have
the
biggest aquarium you've ever seen.
Yeah. Like, have you been to Chai Dynasty in Los Feliz? They have.
No,
they
I haven't, but they have one like that. Okay, yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the idea of having just one fish in there, I was like, what? Yeah. It kind of makes sense this fish would die from loneliness, I feel like.
Right.
It's too big a place.
And then,
if I was, I would suffocate myself too if I was by myself in that big ass house.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Mitch diagnoses it. He says, like, whenever any fish wants to die, he comes here for his last swim. So
it's almost like they get one fish every time, and then that fish dies. Yeah. They're like, every time we get one, it just dies. So like,
they're like, we could get more fish. They're like, yes, it's fish. Too much work. I just want. I'm good with one, and then when it dies, we just bring another one in.
Like, I like flushing them one at a time, baby.
So then Dr. Dr. Arthur Block, not Alan Block, Dr. Block shows up and he's looking for Donna, but he won't say why.
Right.
And then we see Mitch calls her. We see Donna holding a lingerie to herself. She's very robotic. The medical examiner.
Can we go back for a second?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Question.
So does Donna work at the, I guess it's a PI, it's a PI agency?
No, she doesn't work there. She now is a lifeguard at Baywatch.
She's still a lifeguard?
She used to own the bar downstairs, and now she's a lifeguard.
Yeah.
So how the hell did Dr. Block know to go to the PI?
Right.
I'm like, how do you know where to go? And how you know you're looking for Donna?
He had so much information,
got
right?
All the information from the cop?
And he got all of the
other people involved in the accident.
People that were involved in the accident.
He knew everything.
Yeah. And at the end, knows enough to know that a 14-year-old girl is not accounted for.
Right.
Okay.
Crash victims.
I have a theory. I have, like, they had this character basically knew everything they needed to move the plot forward in this story. And then someone at the end was like, how does this guy know this stuff? And they're like, we'll make him a doctor.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, okay, that checks out. Doctors know a lot.
I mean, it would have been way easier if you had just made him a detective.
It would make way more sense. It would make.
Yeah, a detective who had to be forced into retirement because his wife was murdered by a serial killer.
Yes.
I would have bought everything he said after that because he's still a cop, technically.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right because I also think that in this episode, a logical following would be for Kempler's you know, reanimated spirit to kill Dr. Block.
Of course, that's the chess game that he talks about at the end.
Exactly, where it's like Dr. Block should be like, it's my time to get him. You lose. No, it's Mitch who has to do it. Because he's got Ryan.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird that Dr. Block was such a prominent character in this episode, and then towards the end, he's like, "I'll wait in the car while you
I'll
go."
Wait,
and then
never
we never see him again
in the final act.
Yeah,
yeah,
so strange.
I will call the police.
I'll just wait right out here.
I'm
you
just
got this
wait
covered.
While you go in there and finish my life's work.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we don't even get something at the end where he's like, her soul can sleep now or something sure, like that. Instead, sure. He's like, no, we're not done. Kempler's now in this in this girl. And so is Kempler's, because you'd think that Kempler's spirit passed by Blood, but had all of these people survived, does that mean that Kempler would be active in all four of them?
At the same time, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, they don't make it perfectly
clear.
You have
to do that medical procedure to get all of his blood out of your body, though, whatever they're doing for Donna.
Yeah, I'm going to say now, what in the fuck medical procedure is she getting done?
I laughed so hard at that because I was like, impossible. It's just, there's no way. That's not a thing.
They're going to get all of Kempler's butt.
First of all, how do you explain that to the doctor if the cops don't believe you that this is what's happening? Like, the doctor's like, oh, yeah, I heard of this before.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard at that, too, because in that moment, Dr. Block, Mitch is like, hey, you should go to the police. And he's like, no, they're not going to believe any of this crap. But meanwhile, the doctors are like, we'll go get on this.
She might have
serial killer's blood is on that?
Yeah. There's a serial killer's blood in her body. And they're like, say no more.
Oh,
we got it.
Get it out.
We got it.
Get it out. Hold on. Somebody get some sponges.
Yeah. And they're like, can we visit her? Nah, she's pretty out of it. Don't worry about it.
She's out of the episode.
She's out of the episode. Don't worry about it. Yeah. So Donna is possessed. She's got lingerie all over the bed. She never gets to use that lingerie. She just has to go.
I think she was wearing the lingerie when she ran off in the car.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think she was wearing that white lingerie thing, whatever, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird the way she, like, answered the phone, very sexy and seductive.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, Mitch.
But then she's able to... Then she takes a very sensual shower.
Very sensual shower.
Which for no... Like, that has nothing to do with anything.
Charlie, those are my exact words I wrote down. Yeah. Donna takes a sensual shower.
Yes.
I think Kempler just wanted to see her naked.
Yes.
I think
Kempler was just enjoying this part. He's like, oh, I got stuck in Regan.
I know. He's like, I got this little dick dude here, but I also got these nice titties over here.
Yeah. Just imagining, like, Regan going back to his life and his wife just being like, I love you. You're good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You killed seven people.
I just feel like Kempler and Regan exhibited small penis energy, and it'd be funny if Kempler had like got into somebody who had like a massive cock, and he was like, I don't need to do this shit no more. Look at this. I'm about to go into porn.
He goes straight. He's like, I'm giving up the life. Everything I've been missing is
he's
here.
Like, they can get this big. Oh, Lord, I won.
They did make that Freaky Friday with Vince Vaughn, right? It's called Freaky.
Right.
And it's a teen girl switches bodies with a serial killer.
That's Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis. Was it Jamie Lee Curtis, but it was Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah.
It was Jamie Lee Curtis. Okay, cool.
But then they did Freaky, the later one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they decide they gotta go get Donna. So after she takes her shower, I wrote that was an important scene.
Very important. Everyone's like, before she puts on this lingerie, how clean is she? She's got it. Yeah.
Yeah. They put there's a bunch of candles lit in the living room with the statues, which apparently is the hallmark of Richard Kempler.
That's the thing. They didn't go for it at Donna's place. Like every other like lair or whatever, it looked very serial killerish. But this one just was like, there's seven candles lit and maybe some kind of statue. And he's like,
this house has been in like 20 episodes of Baywatch.
Yeah, you are right.
Yeah. So I bet they're like, we can't
aliens?
Mess up. Yes. The aliens live there.
In this house.
We can't mess up this house.
That's probably true. Actually, whoever they're renting from is like,
we need this. We're shooting here tomorrow too. So let's not mess it up. So then,
By the way, because earlier, Dr. Block was like, he was talking about like the candles, the beads, the whatever, and right. The way he delivered it was very funny. And then again, he looks in the window and he's like, the candles, the statue, whatever.
Yeah.
The way he delivered, I realized it reminds me of Mark from The Room. Do you guys remember? Yeah. Have you guys both seen The Room? There's a moment when he goes, the candles, the music, the sexy dress. I mean, what's going on here? And that's when Lisa is seducing him.
Right.
Yeah. Same inflection that he delivered these lines. Loved
pretty
it.
Much.
So then they check. He checks in the house, and there's a bunch of knives. And they find all her lingerie and the phone off the hook. And then Donna attacks Dr. Block and swipes at him with a knife. So my thing is that maybe Donna, like, maybe Kempler realized he's like, I'm not very good at this when I'm in Donna's body, because he tries to kill two people and like fails.
I hear attempt. You, but the same thing. But the idea is that what's his name, Ray, or what? I'm sorry, I forgot what is.
Regan?
What's the guy? Regan. At the end, like, he's already killed people. He couldn't have acted right. that quickly, right? Could he have? So I think he's been in his body this whole time since the accident.
He's in all
I
mean, of them.
Yeah, I've seen right. all yeah, yeah. at the same time.
Because he was also in that other. I'm saying like Donna. So like Donna apparently has not killed anybody yet. This was going to be her first, but
I understand.
She tries to kill Block and she tries to kill Mitch.
Yeah.
And each time she is just like, she's like flailing. Like if you're a serial killer, you're not just going to go.
Yeah. I think what the note is here is that when he's in a female body, that women are stronger and able to fight him.
That's true.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they can somehow get out of it.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
But all the men just, they go in because they're stupid.
It's a power fantasy, right? It's like,
yeah.
I would have loved, though, if Baywatch Nights just decided to be messy, though, and they were like, no, we're going to have Donna kill several people and then she become unpossessed.
That's what I was going to say is like, it would have been amazing if she did actually kill a bunch of people and then they had to just go with the rest of the series.
But, well, we can't charge her for this murder because she's possessed.
She's possessed.
Yeah. which is like, I think that's, and so the writers of the Conjuring movies are writers on this season of Baywatch Nights. And the third Conjuring movie is about that court case. The devil made me do it. It's about a guy. It's like whether or not this guy was possessed by the devil made him murder.
Oh,
somebody.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, do you think they're going back to old Baywatch Nights scripts and coming up with movies?
They didn't write this one, but it could be. They were in the room. That's
for
sure.
They were in the room.
They were in the room.
They were like, hey guys, remember that episode of Baywatch Nights we did?
So then while Dr. Block is cleaning his wound, Donna takes off in her car. And so Dr. Block says that a few weeks ago, an 18-wheeler plowed into a prison bus, which started a chain reaction.
That reminded me of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercials where it's like chocolate and peanut butter came together.
Yes.
And then you smash together. You have a new creation.
Yeah. 8 cars were involved, including Donna. So
yeah,
where are the other people?
Hold on.
That's 8.
There's a lot going on here. Yeah. Sorry. What do you want to say, Dale?
Wait. How is Donna's car in the car accident when she had her car in the driveway?
Yeah.
They
was like, that
she
right there.
Can't be gone nowhere. She's here. Her car is here.
Guys, if you had a friend slash coworker in Mitch's case who was in an 8-car pileup, don't you think you would have heard about that? Like, how did they not know about this? Yeah, absolutely.
I also don't understand. So he says, like, Kempler died on site, but his blood was everywhere. So this prison bus, like, exploded with his blood and shot it all over.
Do you think every other prisoner in the bus was fine? They're like, ooh, that was messy.
Yeah.
Whoa.
None of Kempler's blood got on me.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you got to have an open, you know, open,
gotta have
cut
an open
or
wound.
Something like that.
Some
yeah.
Oh, by the way, they also messed up because earlier that other detective that we don't know his name or whatever, he was like, oh, yeah, Richard Kempler, he died 4 months. He was killed 4 months ago.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then here they're saying 3 weeks ago. So someone was not on top of this stuff at all.
Yeah, there was obviously no script soup.
No, no, at all on the show.
So yeah, this is when Ryan says that he was convicted of 2 murders, confessed to 17, was suspected of 50. And then he thinks Donna was infected with Kempler's blood.
How does he know this stuff? Though,
yeah.
Right? Not the fact that he was convicted and all that shit, but he's like, I got a theory. I think
Don't
Donna was helping
like,
with the scene at a cut. the blood got in there, and this is how we're, it's like,
you,
what?
Grief is crazy, man. You just want answers. And
I guess that's just, what it is.
Turns this out he was why right, it would have worked better if he was forced into retirement because he's a detective.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Because, like, it would have been, like, I guess what's also weird is that, like, yeah. Regan at the end looks like a serial killer, and they couldn't yes. have got someone who was, like, a little friendlier looking. Like, he, like, so it was really hard for me to go, like, oh, yes, this man is possessed. I was just like, yeah. that's this guy.
It just seemed like
I was
that
like,
guy.
No, that's yeah. just him being him.
Yeah.
By the way, I just realized, I feel like because Dr. Block is so obsessed with this case, but he is a doctor, right? I feel like people are like showing up for their medical appointments. He's just not there. I'm like, sorry, where's the doctor? He's on a case of a serial killer who was killed 3 weeks ago.
Or he's
ago,
accusing everyone in his office maybe. Of being Kempler. He's like,
oh, that's true. He could be doing this to everyone. It's just,
are you Kempler?
To hit right, correctly every now and then.
Yeah.
He's like, do you like candles?
Yeah.
Yes. Mitch then calls in one of his famous favors to get an APB on Donna, where he just calls the police and says, can I have a favor? Please put out an all points bulletin.
But that,
he's like, that did, he's yeah. like, yeah, her name's Donna DeMarco. Wait, you don't yeah. have a license plate number or nothing nope. for me?
Nope. We're right on
Donna
it.
Donna DeMarco.
Lifeguard,
okay.
Mitch.
And it ultimately doesn't matter.
It does not matter. No. It did not matter. So because he I just, also, yeah, we'll get there.
I have just a question. Oh, well, all right. So she's, now she's in the car, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, and she just sees some random dude standing on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now she put that car in reverse, and she hit that gas so hard that she spun the tires.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean to tell me that guy standing right there didn't hear that?
Right.
If somebody has spun their tires that fast to come back and pull up next to me, I ain't getting in that person's
yeah,
car.
Yeah,
good point.
No.
I ain't even that hot. He wasn't even, it wasn't like he was out there with no shirt on and just... glistening on stuff in the sunlight. Nah, there's no way she would. There's no way I would get in the car with somebody who did that.
And definitely. The idea being that if she shows up and asks that, then you were like guaranteed that you're gonna get some. You know,
oh,
like
he knew he was getting laid. She was in lingerie already, bro. Yeah. She had the lingerie on. She was like, "You he's need like, a ride."
But he bit off more than he could chew, that's for sure. So then on the way we get the story of Buckland, the serial killer,
yes,
who was a normal type of guy who didn't fit the profile.
I laughed so hard when he said that. He's like, he's a very normal type of guy. It's like, what are you talking about? That would not be the assessment anyone came up with after someone that had 12 body parts from 12 different people.
And you find that about a lot of serial killers too, is that they do not fit, like, you know, they that's well, that why they should, get away yeah, with it for it, so long, like the Long Island serial right. killer. He just like was
people
was
don't
like
always fit the profile exactly
kids. Yeah,
absolutely true. But yeah, I don't see how you could possibly call someone that is a massive serial killer a very normal guy.
Yeah, yeah, like the BTK killer worked at a church, had a wife, yes. had a yeah. daughter, mm-hmm. was out here killing women,
family, yep, mm-hmm.
yeah.
I was like, whoa. Mercy.
Yeah, that was. Ugh.
So,
see, I
then,
fit the profile, so yeah. I can never be a serial killer. Can't do it.
As they're driving out there, this is when we find he preyed on young, attractive women, would help them carry their packages, buy them coffee, yeah. and then says, Donna is now the female version of Kempler. And she says, guys, I got bad news for you. Donna can have almost any man she wants, she won't have a problem picking up guys.
yeah
I didn't know how to take that. I was like, so what are you trying to say about Donna?
Right.
Right,
it's Donna's not gonna like, work yeah. because she's so pretty she can have anybody she want, or as you say, she can just go be outside for 2 seconds and she will have 5 victims.
It's I mean, it seemed like this was if it kept up with this pace, she yeah, would have been
she would have had him.
Prolific, yeah.
Yeah, but she couldn't put the knife right to somebody's neck. So I think yeah. Donna was overmatched.
She was.
I like that he was like, I mean, I'm pretty sure they drove to Griffith Park, but it's like that she's like, let's drive out to the what looks like the woods.
Looks yeah. like the woods. Mm-hmm. And then Mitch goes, I heard a sound in the
oh,
background.
Oh, yes.
It reminded me of
the
place
Santa Monica Airport.
That made no sense. He's like, I heard a small airplane in the background. Yeah. She was talking to us. He's it like, we used to have a train. We used to have a training center near Santa Monica Airport. Let's go check there. I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
That happens in airports, this, like, later,
other cities too.
Later in the episode, Dr. Block is like, he operated in these six places. And then Mitch is like, Culver Theater. It's right around the corner.
Around the block, right around the corner.
Which also didn't make sense because they were driving. Him and Donna were driving for a while. So whatever.
So, yeah. So they get out there. She pulls the knife and points it at him when they pull over.
It was then I realized, I guess, kind of like this hitchhiker, that she had the knife right there in between the two seats.
Yes.
He never noticed it once, I guess. It was just sticking in right there. And she's like, phew.
Yep. Then she wants his hand on her knee. And she says, it's so pretty up there. It's a lot of hand. Yeah, the hand on the leg thing. She's like, then she goes like, he touched me. And the guy's like, I didn't touch her. I did not. I did not. And she's
and then
like,
she's also saying, keep it there.
I like it. She said, you know how much I like being touched. And then she says she has a crazy need. It's all sex and death. She says she has to kill him. She tells him to get out of the car. And I thought she was like going to let him go. But what she does is she's going to take him off to hog tie him and then kill him.
Takes a long
Zodiac,
time.
Zodiac killer, I guess.
Oh yeah, it is kind of, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I did like when Dr. Block was like, Donna's going through an extraordinary struggle with her personalities, but eventually Kempler will prevail. Like, how does he know this? I don't know.
Yeah, he's just like, he's a doctor.
It is funny. I know this is probably pulled from, I think there was like a movie in the early 90s or late 80s where like a serial killer is electrocuted and then their soul goes to someone else. Does it sound familiar?
Yes, that was a very good movie. I like that movie.
I've never seen it, actually. Okay, that one's really good.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but I used to like that movie.
I feel like that's kind of, this idea is kind of pulled from that, but it is funny that they never bothered to explain. It's just like his blood got places. Why is his blood like magical, apparently?
Apparently, I mean, like, he was a possessive demon because that's what he had to alter the ram's head.
Oh, yeah. It was that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But that's a. What is the one I'm thinking of called? I can't think. Maybe I can.
I know. I'm gonna here. You go ahead.
Okay.
Keep
okay.
Talking.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has this insane blood that just. I guess did it possess people in his lifetime too? I wonder. Is it just because he died?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, fallen.
No. That's a different one. I think.
Oh.
What year is fallen from?
1998.
No, this
it's
is earlier.
With Denzel Washington.
This one.
He watches witnesses the execution of serial killer Edgar Reese. Soon after the execution, the killings start again, and they are very similar to Reese's style.
Oh, that's so funny. I think it's probably took thing. The it took the same idea.
Pretty much.
But yeah.
Anyway, so okay, yeah. Mitch postulates that they're by the Santa Monica Airport.
And he's right.
Yeah, he was right. I love the woods in Santa Monica. I love hanging out in the woods in Santa Monica.
That's what they're known for, is the woods. I do like that Mitch was like, after he says that, the Santa Monica airport and everything, he's like, it's a long shot. But
well, let's go there anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Donna ties the guy up. She says it's like a dream, a fantasy. She climbs on top of him and wants a kiss. Then she's like, I think you don't like kissing me. And then she says, I want more kisses. So then, figured it out?
It's the movie Shocker.
Shocker, thank you, yes.
Shocker.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Daryl.
Yes.
That
was 89, Wes Craven. Sorry.
Wes Craven, that's right. Yes. Oh, yeah. Wes okay. Craven.
Yep. Mitch and Ryan call to her. Oh, she has to vomit first. The battle where she vomits and then wipes her mouth.
I forgot. Does she kiss him again or no?
She kisses him before. She doesn't kiss him after.
That would have been kind of a funny.
That would have been really funny.
He's like, no. Don't kiss me.
Yeah. Cute lips.
He's like, your breath. It smells like hot dogs.
Kempler loved hot dogs. when Mitch and Ryan call to her, she runs away. And then Mitch finds the guy and unties him, and he's like, hey, that lady was psycho. She was really freaked out on her guard, man. Man, she was crazy. I was like, you are have no affect whatsoever.
She lost it. Like, completely
this
psycho.
This guy was the producer's cousin.
Yes. And also, I'm not 100% sure, but it seemed like just for that moment, it was like ADR as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it was the same actor actually saying it or what, but it just sounded so unnatural.
She lost it. She was crazy. She was so psycho.
It was out of her guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Mitch finds... Donna's car, and Donna comes at him with a knife.
But he's got the little side mirror helps him out.
He's got the side mirror that helps him out. And then, but she does cut Mitch's neck, which is also funny. Like, two scenes later, it is still like bleeding when he goes to investigate. When he goes to the cop's house, it's still got blood coming down his neck.
I was like, Mitch, are you going to put a bandage on that or something?
I mean, Donna has been taken to the hospital, has been put into this miracle procedure that removes another person's blood from your body.
I think they call that dialysis.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just don't put it in your kidneys. They just put it in another part of your body.
Like, let's run her blood through the cotton balls, y'all. We gotta filter this out.
I'm imagining one of those, like, what do you call it? Like a sifter or something you use in cooking?
Yeah.
Like a strainer or whatever, and it pours through there.
Yeah.
And then, like, all the bad blood drips out for some reason. And then, but the good blood stays
in
there.
Or, like, when you're panning for gold.
Yes, something like that. Some kind of, it's got to be some kind of method like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, back at the office, Dr. Block is on the phone. We find out about the procedure. They can't see her for a couple of days. And then Dr. Block says, now that that is completely over, the person that we know, let's move on to this person we've never heard of before named Ray Regan. Dr. Block, he's like, he's like, well, then why don't we call the police? He's like, to them, it's gibberish.
Right.
Only doctors believe me.
Only doctors.
So then Mitch says he's going to go. Ryan says she's going to stay.
It was very funny the way she said it, too. She's like, okay, I'll stay.
Exactly. Like, okay, I'll stay.
It almost felt like she was like, I don't want to bother with this shit anymore. This is crazy.
Yeah. They go to the house and they knock, and Ellen Regan answers. And they are just like, hey, is your husband home? And she's like, has something happened? Was there an accident? It's like, these are just two guys. Like, what?
Yeah, we don't know who these two guys
are. Like, yeah. But then.
It's funny, by the way, she tells them, she's like, yes, I'm Ellen Regan. And then Dr. Block is like, and your husband is Ray Regan. Which I was, so he's like, we know he's Regan. I have to say that again.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, so then a cop pulls up to the house. Turns out this is Ray with Kempler's spirit inside of him. And he calls in for a call on Mitch's Suburban. And he finds out that Mitch has several phone numbers, one of them being the PAI agency. He knows that's the one you got to patch through to.
That's the one. Patch me to that one.
Yeah. I bet there's one person there by themselves that I can kidnap.
Yeah.
I bet you there's a female there I can grab and get this story going. Now, how did he even know that, like, Mitch was after him? Like, that Mitch is a target he needs to... Like, this all just made up in his head? Like, oh,
well,
I
guess that Kempler knows... Like, recognize he's omniscient with Donna as well. So it's like his consciousness has been split into all four, but he's living, he's embodying all of them.
Oh, so all of it. I mean, well, it'd been nice if they had told
us. It's a hive mind. I know. That would have been a great thing for them to tell.
You just making up shit that they never heard of.
I'm giving them way too much credit.
Way too much. I promise you, you're giving them way too much credit after.
No, Daryl, this is all true. Also, if they were able to all meet up, they would have combined into like a mega Voltron.
Like a Megazord.
Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he calls the PI agency and Ryan answers. Mitch is not there. So he's going to go there. Mitch happens to catch the black and white turning around, and he clocks that as strange. And then when they go back to when Ryan is at the PI agency, Regan enters and immediately kidnaps her. So Ryan is begging him to listen, and he's like, I've always enjoyed women who don't waste time. He holds the knife up to her, and she tells him about the personality changes. And he says, I like this. Yes. I like who I'm becoming. So, yeah, yeah, you're like,
I feel
it's like
he, this is kind
Donna
of his personality
didn't.
A little bit.
This guy was into it. Yeah.
He's into it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you guys caught this, but Ryan, when she's trying to talk to him through this, I swear this is what she says. Now, I know what she was meant to say, but this is what she says. I know that you've been farting with yourself and farting with those feelings to stay who you are. And if you don't believe me, go back and check it. It's in the 27th.
Is that what the closed captioning says?
No, this is what it sounds like she says. Now, I know she's saying fighting, but the way she says it, it sounds like farting. I swear to God.
From the Midwest.
Though. Is that what it is? Okay.
She's actually from the Midwest. And she's like, I know you've been farting.
Yes. It's not, to my ears, it sounds way more like farting than fighting. And I laugh pretty hard.
Really funny. I like farting like this.
I have not been farting with this for years.
Yeah. And then he wants to take in a movie.
Yes.
So Mitch and Block enter the PI agency and see stuff knocked over, and Dr. Block loses it. He's like, it's just like my wife. He's got Ryan. It's going to end the same. He's going to kill her. And
by the way, I just want to point this out. It was clearly daytime where they were when they talked to Ellen. And then she got kidnapped, and then they get back to the office. It's
they
like
got dinner.
Way into night. They did. Yes. Yeah. They made a lot of stops on the way. I guarantee you. There's no other explanation.
Do you want to grab a bite? Might as well.
Yeah, I'm starving. You read my mind.
Let's do it.
It also would have been cool if Block ended up possessed by Kempler, too.
That would have been a nice turn.
Yeah. And then he could be fighting with it from within. He's like, oh, your final joke you've played on me. You killed my wife, and now you make me kill. But no.
Yes. Would have loved that.
And then, so he says that he took his wife and cut her. This is when Mitch is like, you never told me this. He's like, I very much did. he says, taking Ryan makes him fit the Kempler profile exactly.
I guess.
Mitch then uses Star 69.
Yeah, Star 69. Yeah. He lucked out, though, because he did say, let's see who's the last person to call here. It could have been, like, anyone, really.
Yes.
Doesn't mean he was the last person to call them.
Right. Especially since it's been hours.
It's been hours, so they lucked out. Yeah. He's also, like, did that make sense? It was like, oh, sorry, were you going to say Charlie?
No. Go for it.
I was just going to say, what they start 69 and they're like 42nd precinct. And does that make sense? Because he was calling from his own car. Would that connect back to the head office, essentially? Or would it be to his car? I don't know. I don't know how that.
No, it would go. His car would have a different phone number, I would think.
That's what I would think, but I don't actually know. Also, this is like 97 or whatever, so I'm not sure how the system.
Yeah,
I think
they probably were like, well, if it was his car, it would probably just ring and ring and ring and ring.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I also like that later on, he's like, you better talk to Mitch while he can still hear you. And then she's like, there's booby traps everywhere. He's like, why did you tell him? And then she goes, you better talk. He goes, you better talk to him while he can still hear you. And then she does it again.
Yeah, I was like, this was not well thought out.
No.
Regan takes her to an old abandoned movie theater, the Culver Theater.
Which I looked up is a real theater. I mean, of course it is. You can tell by the exterior. But I guess it's still there, and they still have the Culver one, but it's now called the Kirk Douglas Theater, believe it or not.
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go. And this is out in Culver City, or?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Yeah. He says, so many love stories. Gone with the Wind, From Here to Eternity, An Affair to Remember. I used to come here and see the double features. Can you smell the popcorn? I love the popcorn.
I did love that line. I did love that moment when he turned to camera, essentially. I was like, can you smell
also, how old was Kempler?
That's a good question. Yeah,
Gone
right?
with the Wind.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. He's not that old.
Everything he was romanticizing about a period loss.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, he definitely was. But he also, that time doesn't check out. What do you think he is? At best, like 50 or so?
Yeah.
Probably in his 50s.
Yeah, so no, yeah, those movies
so
are old.
This is the 97, so he's born in 47. So he's like, so his movies would be like Bonnie and Clyde and stuff like that.
That's true.
But he also, yeah, like, and he does bring that up and go,
but
like,
maybe, you know, he was a serial killer, so maybe he was raised by his grandmother.
And she took him to re-showings of old movies.
Or she
constantly played those movies in his childhood because grandparents don't care what they show their grandchildren, because I was raised by my grandmother and I saw every mob movie as a six-year-old kid. Yeah. Yes. Goodfellas, all of them. Seen them all. I was like, yeah, shoot them up with the Tommy gun. Like, my grandmother let me watch everything. So this is how serial kills become serial kills, because they usually end up raised by their grandparents.
That makes sense. I did not know that.
By the way, Daryl, my dad did let me watch pretty much any movie I wanted to.
And you are a serial killer.
I guess so. Charlie, are you a normal person? Actually, serial killers, according to this, are normal.
When I was younger, I think the first R-rated movie I ever saw was like 6, and it was Terminator 2, which is like barely, it's not that bad. But I remember the nuclear thing really freaked me out, because I was like, at the time when you're 6, you're like, whatever happens in the movie is real. Like, this isn't a movie. It's just something that happened.
Oh, yes. Yeah. By the way, Charlie, when you started saying that, my brain got confused for a second. You were like, the first movie I saw, I was 6. 6, you said 6. For a second, my brain was like, your parents let you watch. Oh, no, wait, it's 7. It's not 6.
Oh, 7 is so much different.
I was like, that's a fucked up movie to let a kid watch.
But I remember my dad was supposed to take me and my cousins and my sister. He was taking us to the movies. He was taking us to see My Little Ponies.
Okay.
And then he asked us when we got there, he's like, would you guys rather go see Poltergeist? And, you know, we're kids, and we're like, let's get scared. And then we're like, holy shit, this is really scary.
I think that would be so scary for a kid to watch.
She still talks about how that movie traumatized her.
Daryl, same. I think I probably talked about this on this podcast once before, maybe not. But that was the movie when I was a kid. Once again, my dad let me watch it. But I was like 5 or 6. I was just too young. And there was like a clown that like strangles a kid in the movie. Yeah. And then I went back to my mom's house. This was like, I was at my dad's for the weekend, went back there, and we had a stuffed clown in my bedroom. I was like, fuck this. I like freaked out. Mom, you got to take this out of here. It's going to try to kill me.
So I only saw Poltergeist for the first time maybe a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it was only then that I realized the scene that was being parodied in Scary Movie 2.
Okay.
When Sean Wayans uses his penis to hook the clown that attacks him from under the bed and pull it back under and sexually assault it.
Sorry, what?
Yes, so there's a part where the clown, just like in the movie, comes from under the bed and grabs him and pulls him under. And he's scared, but then the clown tries to get away from him, because a running joke in both of those movies is that Sean Wayans is a closeted gay man.
Oh,
and geez. So, and it's very funny that he's gay. So, so then he has sex with the clown, and the clown doesn't like it.
Clown's like, no, not my booty hole.
Yes.
He's like, how many people can I get in this booty hole with this clown hole?
Do you think Steven Spielberg, who produced that Poltergeist, was like, damn, they got us. They roasted us good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
He's like, god damn it. Them damn Wayans.
He, after the popcorn line, he uncuffs her and says they are lovers, and lovers sit in the balcony.
Sure. Yes.
Mitch says Regan thinks he's Kempler. And he names places, and Mitch immediately knows it's the theater.
He says it's the closest place. It's just around the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I don't know if have we gotten to the part yet where Mitch does his internal monologue with.
Not yet.
No.
Okay, all right, sorry. Continue.
Loved it though. Yeah.
That comes after during the final showdown.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So then he says so many love stories. West Side Story, that was a great one. That was a great love story. And then he goes, Bonnie and Clyde, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? They were love stories, but different. So then
he's such a like movie crank. He's like, movies change.
This is
why
you
possible.
Can tell that those writer rooms were 100% white. There was not a person of color allowed in that writing room, because we would have been like, what movie are y'all fucking talking about? This is dumb.
Yeah.
Who is going to romanticize a movie and then, like, at the same time be trying to kill somebody? Like, it don't make no sense.
Right.
Well, exactly. He just had to, they had to get him to the Bonnie and Clyde so that he could be like, well, both of them Bonnie- die.
Which is funny because he seemed to not like Bonnie and Clyde in this moment, though. He's like, oh, it's not like these other love stories that I loved as a kid.
Yeah, he didn't like that it doesn't have a happy ending, I guess. But I guess Gone with the Wind doesn't have a happy ending.
Never seen
it. Not really, yeah.
I don't know nothing about birthing no babies, Miss Scarlett.
So then Mitch sees the black and white, and he goes, that's Kempler's car. He just immediately knows. He's like, that's his car. It was like, it could be any cop car.
That's a good point.
This is Los Angeles. Yeah, there's a million cop cars everywhere.
Yeah. That's Kempler's taxi. That's right there. That's his taxi.
Sure. Locke decides he wants nothing to do with this and says he's going to go call the cops. And he's like, Mitch, this is the chess game. It's you versus him. Who dies first?
Why, though? Why is this now their chess game? Why does he care about Mitch at all?
Because he's got Ryan.
Because he kidnapped his friend, not his. It's not Block's friend. This is your friend, Mitch. You better go save your friend.
Locke already lost the chess game. Wife.
That's true. I guess he already won that chess game.
I really want to know, if Block got... If Kempler got Block's wife and he's like, he cut her in front of me, then, like, did Block try to save her? What if he's like a coward who was like, I'm not getting you.
He might be, I guess.
You know, because like, it sounds like he didn't even try.
He's like, sorry, baby, you're going to have to die today.
Yeah. Block's single again.
Charlie, what you're telling me is, if a serial killer came to your house and had your wife tied up, what you gonna do? Are you gonna be a coward or are you gonna try and save your wife?
I'm gonna try to save. It's our chess game.
You gonna try and save the wife?
Yeah, it's me versus him.
You a better human than me.
Daryl.
That's why I'm single now. Single now. I don't want no responsibilities like that. No.
Yeah.
Now, baby, you got into this mess. You better get out of it.
So you would show up, see the situation, and you'd be like, checkmate, you got
me. And I'd be like, oh, you won, sir. I'm going home now.
You'd deliver a final line like, consider this a divorce.
I'd be like, look, baby, I'm taking everything. And I've been fucking your sister for the last 5 years. I'm out.
Oh, no. Then they get up into the balcony. He says, Bonnie and Clyde's were lovers, but they killed together and they died together. That was their biggest turn on. And he wants a kiss. And then he says, we're up here in the balcony where lovers come. I was like, which way do you mean?
You know exactly what way he meant.
Yes.
He wanted to ejaculate inside of Ryan.
Up in the balcony.
Yeah.
Out of eyesight of everyone.
By the way, I did like
the way he delivered this line, Ray. He's like, hey, how about a kiss, baby?
This guy
was having fun with this role. I will say that.
He was better than the first guy that got kidnapped. he's definitely giving some range.
Yeah.
So then Mitch enters. He finds the crime scene. So here's a question.
Yeah.
The crime scene in the beginning, the crime scene is they've just come in and removed all the bodies. So is this one of Kempler's old crime scenes or is this not the new one? Because there's no bodies.
Wait, yeah, that's a good point.
What scene?
In the opening scene. So in this scene, there's like a new mattresses covered in blood and
Mitch
saws
finds
and
it
stuff.
As he's walking around.
But in the beginning, we have the exact same thing, and they're like, the coroner just came in and took all the bodies. So here, is this one of Kempler's old crime scenes, or is this something that Regan, as Kempler, has created anew?
Has made?
I think it's the Regan as Kempler, but...
Yeah.
Maybe
I was just probably texting at that point in the movie.
Yeah. Mitch hits a trap, and so he walks into that laser, and then he doesn't
move. He saw it, right?
He saw it, he looks down at it, and then just goes like, oh well. he just lets it happen.
He didn't prepare for anything.
Yeah,
he didn't try to move back, get out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then,
well, I guess he is just truly a lifeguard turned PI. He's not really
true
turned PI.
He's a Navy SEAL.
He's maybe never.
Oh, was he a Navy SEAL? Right,
yes.
They say that in Baywatch, the regular show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in the regular show. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I would have never known that. Actually, the only episode I watched was for y'all.
And we're not there yet, but I think that's what they're alluding to later when he has his like inner monologue, is that he was like a Navy SEAL and like tapping into his training.
Got it.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize Navy SEALs trained in bikinis. Because he had a bikini in that scene. I was like, oh, he's a lifeguard. So this is a lifeguard training scene.
Yeah,
I never
that is a good point. Maybe this was just was a lifeguard some training. Random training. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm not sure.
Yeah.
See?
Because
easy to enter some doubt into
I guess
mind.
It could be lifeguard training too, right? I guess if you're doing a night rescue,
yeah,
you probably would have like a light, but I guess, yeah, okay.
Because basically, he's like, you can't see in the water and you can't hear, yeah,
okay,
whatever.
There's a serial killer from someone else's blood,
but his hearing, I guess he got his hearing back because that's what he used to know when they were like coming down the stairs,
yeah,
he could hear the clacking of the feet,
yes,
Ryan,
unless he just. Unless you think he just felt it, like he was so, like the other senses were gone, so he could just feel everything within that building.
He could feel the vibrations of them coming down the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's possible, I guess. Sure, why not?
Look, everything is possible with these writers.
It truly, yeah. Doesn't matter.
And he gets blown up by a concussion grenade. So why didn't he just put I'm sure he could get like real grenades. Just put a real grenade.
Just
like,
take him out.
He's using
he wanted to torture him.
I guess
he did. So then,
well, what was the thing about like heroes? He was like, heroes should die or something like that. He wanted him to die.
Oh yeah. He's like, now it's your hero moment where the hero dies.
Right.
And then he's like, and then afterwards we will be lovers in the balcony and then Ryan can do the lover's leap.
Right.
And then,
yeah, so he's going to kill her afterwards, I guess.
But Mitch then, as you said, goes into his internal monologue. He's lost two senses, and so he remembers his training. And I think that the writers were trying to figure out how they could communicate that, and then they were just like, it just has to be Mitch talking out loud.
I guess so,
But why couldn't he just be talking out loud in the moment in the theater instead of having to go to a flashback and do an internal monologue in his head? Because now when you cut back to him in the theater, he's still doing the internal monologue while walking through the theater. I'm like, now, why are you not speaking out loud?
Yeah,
but we can hear your thoughts now. What TV show?
It also would be really funny if like Ryan and Kempler and Regan could just like hear Mitch going like, "Remember your training. You jumped into the water.
You got this, Mitch."
Absolutely. And then Regan would have been like, "Uh-oh, he's remembering his training."
Trust your instincts.
So Mitch does get the upper hand on Regan, and then almost beats him to death.
Yeah, he was gonna kill him.
Yeah, 100%. He was going to kill him.
And that's very funny because we all know, he knows, Mitch knows that Donna is about to have a procedure or is currently having a procedure.
And you can
get the blood out.
You can get the blood out.
But he's like, nah, I'm going to kill this guy.
Nah, I'm going to kill this guy because he blew my eardrums out and he made my eyes hurt. I don't fuck with this dude.
I understand why he's so angry.
And
you know what?
Yeah. I got to say that even with the blood taken out of him, I got my suspicions about Richard.
I do too, actually.
Yeah,
Regan
probably would never come back. He would never rehabilitate.
Yeah.
Do you think if they could get Kempler back from the dead, he's like, I never liked movies.
Yeah.
No, Ryan's not my type. They're like, this
they
is all
They actually
got to
take
Regan.
Regan's blood out of Kempler's body.
This is the bad blood.
How many seasons was this show on the air?
Just the two. And season one is very different from season two.
Season two went full X-Files, and season one is just like crime show.
Yeah. That's where it should have stayed.
By the way, I kind of going back, I think you mentioned this earlier, Charlie, about like maybe Dr. Block would be possessed. It would have been fun if like Mitch got like sort of, he got some blood on him when one of those grenades went off, then he got some of Kempler's blood, and then he had to have that like battle. And then he could be having that dialogue, the battle against him and Kempler somehow.
Yeah, I always
like
the
I don't
idea
want you
where
to
it's
be Kempler,
like,
I'm Kempler.
It's almost like the symbiote in, it's like Venom. So it's like
exactly.
He gets some of that, and it like in Spider-Man 3, where it's like, oh, he gets powers, but there's a price to come with it. So he's got to use them and then get rid of them. Like, you know, like, but he needs it in order to overcome the final battle. But instead, he just
almost beats
wins. Him, yeah. So then we cut back to
6'4".
Yeah. We cut back to Knights. Ryan reads a card that says, Mitch's thoughtfulness has been too much. Thanks for almost killing my husband and saving his life.
The letter was
from Ellen.
Yeah.
That's probably the nuttiest part of this whole entire
episode. Your thoughtfulness has been too much.
What's the thoughtfulness?
What was thoughtful?
And then thanks for almost killing my husband. He's fucked up. You really beat him up really badly.
Yeah.
But saving his life.
But you brought him back to me.
Yeah.
Fine.
And
Ellen.
Said Ellen, don't worry. I believe everything everyone's told me about this
case. That's right.
And it's like, you were going to sexually assault Ryan and throw her off a balcony. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's like, honey, no, that was Kempler.
That was Kempler, not me.
Although I never would. Bit. Yeah.
Hey, would you want to go to the balcony with me and come?
Yeah. Yeah.
Honey, how about we take in a movie tonight? Gone with the Wind.
So then
Mitch asks if anyone else was unaccounted for in the accident. One person, a 14-year-old girl, and then they get a phone call. Dr. Block needs them as soon as possible. They get up to go, and that is it.
And cut to black. Episode not even ends. Black.
Laughter ensues.
Yeah, laughter ensues. Ha ha. End of episode.
Wow, what an episode.
That was season 2, episode 12, Possessed. Now we have some awards that we got to give out. Awards we give out every episode. Daryl, you get to give awards too. This first one is our Hofsker. This is the best actor of the episode.
Do I give this one out?
We all do.
We all give our opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm definitely going with Ryan Regan.
Yeah, Regan. Yeah, for
Regan
sure.
For me as well, yeah.
He was great. He was like legitimately scary. I believed that he was and is Kempler.
I agree. Also, I'm just going to say this probably wasn't in the script. He probably said, "Can you smell the popcorn?" He just probably improvised that line.
Can you smell the popcorn? I love the popcorn. Can you smell the popcorn? I love the popcorn. It's very funny. Yeah. Okay. Then our Jilzy is our worst actor of the episode. I'm going with Donna's victim. Not Donna. Donna's victim, especially in that one moment that might have been 80 yard, but still was very odd.
Oh yeah, his line delivery was so odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the thing? I think I'm going to go the same. Oh, yeah, when she first pulled out the knife, he's like, oh, my God. Hey, don't go crazy on me.
I know. What a reaction. Because he's still, I think in his mind, he's like, if I can just get her to calm down a little bit,
I don't
we might
this.
Still have sex.
I think that's what it is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the character.
So I had to look up. I had to look up Ray Regan while we were on the phone because I want to know if that was like his best role as an actor.
Oh yeah.
His name is Robert Ginty.
Okay.
And unfortunately, he passed away in 2009.
Oh. Mm.
But he was in a bunch of movies that I don't know what they are. He was in a movie called Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
He
was in
Mickey
Madhouse
Rourke.
Too.
It was in that, I believe. Yeah. Oh, what was the other second one you said?
Madhouse.
Okay, nice.
1990. Yeah. And he's a UCB Comedy Originals actor.
Are you serious?
I mean, he's got one credit for UCB Comedy Originals. Maybe not a UCB guy, but maybe he was in a UCB Comedy Originals in 2008.
Wow. What's the name of that original? Does it say?
Visions of Terror.
Oh my God, maybe he played a similar character.
Yeah.
I think he's played in a couple horror movies.
Seems like it.
Yeah, he does a good
game. Sounds like a horror movie. Double Cross on Costa's Island. Danger in Paradise.
Those sound like softcore porn.
Second one. Especially the last one. What was it again? It was dubbed
Danger in Paradise.
Can you read the entire title of the second movie again? Sequel?
Which one? Oh, Double Cross on Costa's Island?
Yeah. Danger in Paradise, Double Crosser. Yeah.
Robert Regan, Robert Ginty is his name. Ray Regan was the actor, the character's name.
But yeah.
I definitely agree on the worst actor being Donna's kidnappy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so best baddie. Yeah. I think we probably are still on the...
There's two, I guess, right? Yeah, Regan. I guess it would probably be Regan again for me, or Donna's the other one. Or, you know what? Actually, I'll give it to Kempler's Blood, because it really went to work.
What award is this? Best what?
Is that best baddie, like best villain?
Best villain?
Yeah.
I like Kempler's Blood for that, too. I do, too. Cool.
Yeah, I think I agree, because, and, like, Kempler's Blood also was, where they in like Jurassic Park, like life finds a way. It's like that blood went everywhere and got into all these people.
Listen, that's some very powerful blood right there.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
But they got to care for it.
Yeah. I also wanted to know that this 18-wheeler hitting the prison bus, like what happened in this accident?
This was on the grapevine. Obviously, this was on the grapevine. And it was snowing that day.
Yes.
And that's how this happened.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Donna was up there in her convertible Mustang with the top down.
I know. How is she alive? That just like maybe those two vehicles involved?
This is a rental car.
Okay. This is a rental. Yeah, sure.
She's waiting for insurance to come through. Also, how long does it take you to become Kempler? Is it immediate?
Let's see. I think the first one was wrong when they said like 4 months.
It happened,
that guy was wrong.
Yeah.
This was like 3 weeks ago. So. Pretty quick.
Enough that Donna has been Donna's probably still been shown up to work. So was it just like yesterday she became
That's a good question.
Kempler?
Or was she
I don't know, them candles look like they was just lit. They were all brand new candles. None of them were deep in the bottom of the vase.
And she had to go to the store for those. Like there's some resource gathering involved with like being Kempler where he's like, okay, today I have chores. I've gotta
go. You know, I think this has been a battle for Donna for the last 3 weeks. So we don't get to see it because it's on like a show that's not being aired. But she's at Baywatch being a lifeguard. Oh, there's someone drowning on the water. And then she kind of just looks away and just lets that person drown. So she starts kind of like, she doesn't do the active
killing. So that's her. It's a passive serial killer.
It's a passive serial killer to start. She's like, I didn't see that one. Oh, someone drowned?
She's like, she goes to the Yankee Candle store. Then she has to go to Fredericks of Hollywood to get some lingerie.
I'm sorry, that was from Agent Provocateur. That was
Is Fredericks of Hollywood even a real thing anymore?
I don't think it's around anymore, but it was definitely popular when this show was on.
Yeah. Definitely. This was peak.
Fredericks.
This was the sexy step up from Victoria's Secret.
Yes.
Okay. And finally, we rate the episode on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs. 1 is at the low end, 6 is at the high.
Daryl, I know you're not going to watch any more episodes, but I will say I think this was one of the worst episodes of the season.
I could tell you it had to be the worst.
Maybe. Do you think there's another? I don't know. I don't know what you're going to give it, Charlie, but there's. I'll go 2 on this one. I think I'm gonna go 2 out of 6. There might have been one that was I felt was worse, but I'm blanking on what that was right now.
I almost want to give it 0 half.
You totally can.
You can.
I'm gonna give it 1 because I feel like it gave me something to be angry about, so it affected me emotionally. So for that alone, for affecting me, which every piece of art should affect you in some
manner.
That's true. I'll give it 1 half.
That's a great point, Daryl. Yeah. It's better to watch this, in my own personal opinion, than something you're just completely passive about and just doesn't interest you in any way.
Correct. The news.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 4.
A 4?
Okay, this is our biggest disagreement, me and Charlie.
Yeah, the reason is because like when you compare it to last week, like Mobius was way worse, I thought.
It's messier, but it was more interesting, I thought. But you go ahead.
Oh, you mean like the story?
Yeah.
But it's like the story was like, it was a good concept that wasn't executed well. This one was, true. I think, an interesting concept and it was fine. Like Ray Regan was good. Like I thought the acting was overall, like we actually had performances that were interesting in this particular.
Daryl's making a lot of faces right now.
Performances? Like multiple?
Well,
like, who else
Regan,
was good?
Yeah, just Regan, I guess.
It was just Regan, bro. You are giving a lot of grace to this because you must like David Hasselhoff.
No, I didn't come away from this thinking this was worse than anything that we'd seen, and I liked it more than last week. And I think last week I was disappointed because I love an apocalyptic story, but it was such a poorly done apocalyptic story that they go into the a future apocalypse in the last that turns out to just be like inside a warehouse with one trash can on fire.
Yeah, because they weren't using CGI. They had no budget for that.
Yeah, they didn't have the budget. No money. I think I said this last week. I cut him a little more slack in that sense because, I was like, But I was with you. I wish I could have seen the true apocalyptic wasteland. I think episode one actually might have been my least favorite so far of this season.
Oh, yeah.
That one was pretty
boring. That one was boring.
The sea monster, but it wasn't that interesting. You never really saw the sea monster.
Yeah.
If you can't see the sea monster, you can't win.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm gonna should have saw my text messages to Zach after watching that episode.
Your first one was like, "What was it? I'm so angry." Or what the
I hate context, you.
I hate you. That's what it was. Thank you. no context. But I was like, okay,
you I think Daryl just watched the episode. He's like, you must have just started watching the episode.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with my four. I think,
that's great. I think actually,
man, do you, we're not going to judge you. Yes, we are.
Daryl, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Daryl.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Sorry to put you through this.
That's all right. I learned my lesson again, though.
Yeah. Daryl, is there any other iteration of Baywatch that you would be pissed off at us for watching?
Sure. How many iterations of Baywatch?
Oh yeah, there's Baywatch
there?
Hawaii as
Baywatch
well.
Baywatch Hawaii is the last iteration that we would be watching.
Do you guys are you guys gonna make it to the new version of Baywatch?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Probably, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just announced. Formally,
yeah,
what was it?
Two days ago on Fox. Yeah.
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 All right then. Well, maybe I'll see you when those new ones drop, because I'm not gonna watch nothing that was prior to 2020 from the Baywatch franchise.
Fair enough. Okay. That's
do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
I ain't got shit going on. Watch my movie on Hulu. It's called Self Reliant, starring Jake Johnson, Anna Kendrick, and of course me.
Nice.
I watched it. Yeah. Excellent. Really enjoyed it.
That's it. Check it out. Like it, rate it, tell your friends, tell your mama, all that.
Awesome. Yes. And we will be back next week with an all new episode of Baywatch Watch Nights. And until then,
stay wet
at night.
When the waves are crashing.
Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet.